Since the beginning of time, man has been fascinated by the moon.
One giant leap for mankind.
All systems are go.
After 40 years, we're going back to the moon.
Today I announce a new plan to extend a human presence across our solar system. Beginning no later than 2008, we will send a series of robotic missions to the lunar surface to research and prepare for future human exploration, with the goal of living and working there for increasingly extended periods of time.
Bush's announcement opened a new frontier. It committed NASA to returning a man to the moon by as early as 2017 and building long-term lunar settlements.
When we're talking about going back to the moon, we're talking about not just going there to stay 3 days and come home with some scientific samples. We're talking about the idea of staying, learning to live there, or learning to actually live off the land using the resources that we find.
The new program is forcing scientists to face up to a new series of problems. One of the most important is rocket design. A permanent lunar base requires a lot more equipment, so NASA is designing missions using two spacecraft for each trip.
We're talking about a lunar mission here that has a lot more capability than the Apollo missions had back in the late 60s and early 70s. So what we'll do is we'll launch one mission from Earth. That's the cargo vehicle with the lander. We'll launch a second mission, is the crew.
To break out of the Earth's gravitational field, these huge rockets will have to accelerate at over 24,000 miles an hour. That's around 23 times the speed of sound. Several days later, these enormous craft will rendezvous in space and perform an extraordinarily intricate maneuver as they line up with only centimeters of tolerance and dock.
After this rendezvous occurs, we will inject to the moon. We'll go into orbit around the moon.
The lander will carry everything for the crew to survive, including all their oxygen, water, and power supplies. The first return journey will cost around $100 billion. It would have cost even more, but NASA is relying on at least some technologies developed back in the 1960s.
The guys who designed the Apollo missions were pretty bright. They got all the physics right. So the reason you would pick a capsule, for example, is because a capsule is the right shape for coming back through the atmosphere of the Earth at very high speeds. So we tried to borrow as much of that as we could.
What is technologically new and totally untested is building a permanent lunar settlement and learning to live in the most difficult environment man has ever faced. Which is why, in the Arizona desert, NASA is testing a new generation of spacesuits specifically designed for long-term missions. During the Apollo program, the spacesuits restricted astronauts to a maximum of 6 hours on the lunar surface. The new suits will allow them to stay on it much longer and explore in much more detail.
We've literally only scratched the surface on the moon. We've gone there and we've dug little trenches, we've made cores a few meters deep, but we really don't even know what the moon is all about. We don't know what's in the permanently shattered craters at the South Pole. We don't know what's more than a few meters below the surface.
...60 feet below the Gulf of Mexico, NASA has built a simulation of a lunar habitat. It's called NEMO. Here, scientists are trying to simulate the totally alien and unfamiliar environment lunar inhabitants will face.
The crew is actually going to train for probably a number of years before they even come to a lunar habitat. So they'll probably understand each other's little idiosyncrasies, you know, what makes people happy, what kind of are turnoffs to folks. Go downstairs to the galley in the wardroom area. This is basically the amount of personal space we expect a crew member to possibly have on a lunar mission. Hopefully they'd be able to live within that for 6 months at a time.
Outside, astronauts are using weighted backpacks to simulate working in 1/6 gravity.
It's very similar to, say, being on a pogo stick a little bit in terms of just the way that you walk.
NEMO has shown that the problems of isolation and reduced gravity can be overcome. What's going to be more difficult is living in a dead and sterile environment where there are none of the ingredients of life. There's no oxygen, no water, and no means of growing food. Yet the moon may not be as dead as it appears.
There's lots of things we can exploit on a moon for our benefit. For one thing, the surface of the moon is covered with metal oxides. In fact, the soils on the moon are 40% oxygen by weight. That alone is a tremendous benefit.
Oh, hey! There is orange soil! Hey, it is! I can see it from here! It's orange!
There's also a lot of other resources available on the moon. There's hydrogen, there's nitrogen.
If some of these could be exploited, they'd make colonizing the moon much more realistic. Larry Clark works for one of the big US space contractors. He spent years studying the chemical composition of lunar rock.
Good. Tight.
Several years ago, he began putting his ideas to the test.
We're ready to evacuate the system. Let's open the recycle loop.
He bought large quantities of artificial moon dust and compressed it in a furnace. Then it was heated up.
I think we need to look at TC6. And we're secure.
Slowly, by a process of trial and error, Clark found that when the mixture reached 800 degrees centigrade, something magic happened.
I see water in there.
He turned moon dust into drinking water. And that's just the beginning of what's possible. With unlimited supplies of water, you can manufacture breathable oxygen too.
We don't have to have a continuous supply train from Earth launching these commodities, water and oxygen, the basic commodities.
Suddenly, the dream of living and working on the moon looks within our reach.
Extend the length of the stay that astronauts are going to be on the moon.
By golly, this time goes fast.
Rather than having to come back after a week, we can keep up there definitely.
Clark's breakthrough opens the way to self-sufficient lunar settlements.
Just like we use resources here on Earth in order to live off the land, you know, we mine the minerals from the Earth, we cut down trees and make houses out of them. You can do the same thing on the moon.
Today, after gazing at the moon for thousands of years, we may be on the verge of colonizing it. We may never look at the moon in the same way again.